The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host, and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
In Radio Land, I'm George Williams, your host, and this is the George Williams Show. Folks, I'm doing a remote tonight, so we had a few glitches, but I think we worked them out. There's so much to talk about, and we're going to have a guest. And folks, you have to realize with our guest, this is the campaign season, okay? We're going to have several different guests from different categories. The governor's race, the Senate race, the congressional race. Those are the federal races, those last two. And then we're going to have the state races, state Senate, state representative. So it's going to be a busy season, and I've invited anybody, any candidate who wants to come on and talk, no problem. I'll let you come on because I want you, our listening audience, to know what they're about, to what their program is, so that you can get an idea who you're going to vote for. I still don't know who I'm going to vote for in all these races, okay? So I at a moment, but I'm not going to endorse anybody. And I want you to know that. I'm not going to endorse anybody until after the primary, when we go after those Democrats out there, because they should all be defeated. I will never, again in my life, vote for a Democrat. It is totally unbelievable what they've done and what they're doing to this country. And by the way, as usual, we're going to play Dick Morris, okay? Because this man knows what he's talking about. And then we'll talk about what he tells us. We'll talk about that regarding this administration. So here's Dick Morris, folks.
In this past week, in the past 7 days, the United States has bought $300 million of Russian oil and has shipped hundreds of millions of dollars of copper and other materials to Russia. The trade overall amounts to a little less than $1 trillion. So it is not an exaggeration to say that the Biden administration is helping to fund the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In addition, we had 160 American soldiers there in Ukraine instructing Ukrainian pilots on how to use our equipment. Biden withdrew them all. That amounts to an invitation to the Russians to bomb the Air Force bases, because if any Americans were killed in one of those bombings, there would be hell to pay and it might rapidly escalate. And by pulling them out, Biden is almost inviting those air attacks. In addition, late last night, Biden's spokesman came out and said that the sanctions we're imposing do not include the SWIFT banking system. Today, Biden is about to speak, and he may reverse that, but it certainly was a flashing green light to Russia to proceed with the invasion. Let me just spend a minute to explain again what the SWIFT banking system is, SWIFT. It's an association of banks internationally, a voluntary association, in which they link up and agree to process international financial transactions through joint computer systems that they've established. And every bank is a member of it. And without it, it's very hard to transfer money across national boundaries. And even within countries, it's hard to process wires that might have been received from international sources. So it really amounts to cutting a country off from the international banking system, or at least making it very inconvenient to access and within short time frames, like most of these deals are, functionally impossible. Hopefully we'll push Russia out of that, and hopefully these actions will indicate we have a backbone, even though we have a president who doesn't.
All right, Dick Moss, folks, and he's talking about something that my almost 6-year-old grandson can figure out, okay? What are they doing in the White House? I mean, we are paying, and I saw this the other day on Newsmax, we are paying approximately $57 million a month to import oil from Russia. Now, don't you think it would be much better for us to drill for our own oil? We have more oil than any other country in the world. Why will we not open the Keystone Pipeline and allow drilling on government land? Why won't we do that? What is wrong with those idiots in Washington? This is totally unbelievable. Do they care about it? This is a question you have to ask yourself, especially you Democrats. You voted for those idiots. Are you going to vote for them again? After all of this Ukraine and the Russian, and we are buying oil from Russia, well, we have our own oil in the ground. No other country has more oil than us, folks. No other. And as a result of the high prices that we have, for food, for everything, even to get my hair cut, they cost $10 more than it did last year, okay? This is everything. Aren't you Democrats tired of those idiots? And folks, do you notice one other thing? No Democrats are talking about the oil situation, the high cost of living, none of them, black, white, Hispanic, Hawaiians, all of them, none of them are talking about it, okay? You know why they're not talking about it? Because they make $200,000 a year plus all expenses. They don't give a darn about you or me, the average person. They don't care. They're making their money. Everything that they get just about comes free to them. They don't give a damn about the average American. They don't care, okay? Especially the Democrats. The Republicans are talking about it. The Democrats are saying nothing. Congresswoman Sue Al from Alabama, have you heard her say something about the price of gas, the food price, the wood price? Everything, the clothing price. Have you heard her say anything about it? No, because she's following those idiots in Washington. And she's making almost 200 grand a year. So she gives a damn about us, about you, the American people. Folks, November will be here before you know it. You Democrats, you independents, you've got to get rid of those idiots. I don't know how you can hold your head up high. It is totally unbelievable. And especially, none of your Democrats said anything about Afghanistan. You know, we lost $80-some billion worth of equipment. We left Americans behind, and you said nothing. Nothing. So you're just as sorry as those idiots in Washington because you're there joining them. Folks, things have to change. Voters, things have to change. Things must change. And we have to stand strong. Under President Obama, we were strong. Under those idiots in Washington, we are weak. we're perceived to be weak all over the world. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. I've got on this chart about Biden and his weakness, sacrificing the United States for something I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I'm a U.S. Marine, Vietnam infantry veteran. I'm a retired federal agent. I'm a retired major in the military. And I can't figure, you know, I spent 40-some years in the U.S. government. I can't figure these idiots out. Why? And then I come to the conclusion, you know, I spent 6 years in South America with the government, 6 years in Africa with the government, 2 years in the Far East with the U.S. government, and it is totally unbelievable what these folk in Washington are doing. And I'm including congresspeople, some of the senators, mainly the Democrats, because the Russians have Republicans are fighting them. The Democrats are with them. Okay? You Democrats, you never expected, I'm sure you have, for this country to be to downhill in such a short period of time. And let's go over some of the things that Dick Morris was talking about. Okay? Now, this is my own opinion based on my experience and my knowledge, which I think I have a lot more than the average American, okay? And we have to look at it. All right. First of all, Ukraine. Why is Putin acting like this? Remember, Putin is a communist dictator, okay? A dictator. I've lived in African countries and South American countries where they had dictators. And what a dictator do is he take all the freedom away from the folks, okay? Take their weapons, first thing, so they can't fight back, okay? Then he put his flunkies in the government, and they pay them, and the businessmen come under the government. And that's how Russia is. They call them oligarchs, in case you don't know what they are. They are the ones that own all the business in Russia, the majority, and they are Putin's buddy. They keep him in office, okay? They keep him in office, and he keeps them rich. They're multi-billionaires. Matter of fact, he's living in one of their castles, and I think it's probably about 10,000 square feet. That's the size of this castle on the hill, okay? So why is Putin doing this? The first thing is Putin wants the old USSR back, this Union of Socialist Social Republic back, okay? He did that with Crimea, and he did it with Belarus, and he's trying to do it with Ukraine. So without those countries, Russia is nothing and nobody, and I don't care what anybody say. They think, I know my brothers said the other day, Russia and China are more powerful than the U.S. I said, I beg to disagree with you. And my brother was a Marine, okay? I beg to differ with you. Guess how many aircraft carriers Russia has? One, folks, one. How many we have? About 39, somewhere around there. And we have some in mothballs that we could take out, okay? Russia lost all of their influence when they broke up. And thank President Reagan for that. Not Jimmy Carter. President Reagan. okay? They lost it all, just about. So the only thing they have is oil and a nuclear weapon. But guess what? We have them too. Other countries, France, England have them too. So, hey, you want to use your nukes? We can use ours, but that's crap. He's not going to do that, okay? He's not going to do it. So he was originally trying to stop the Ukraine from becoming members of NATO and the EU, European alliance, okay? Ukraine said, no, we're not. And I can almost guarantee you, folks, that Putin is doing this, okay, primarily because he doesn't want Ukraine to become members of the EU, European Community, or NATO, all right? But he didn't know the will of the Ukraine folks, and especially the president, okay? A comedian who elected, who has put down his tie, and he has picked up a rifle. He said, come and get me. And that's what they want to do. They want to take him out. So that, to me, is the principal reason why he's invading the Ukraine. And he thought it would be a lot easier than what it is. So how can we help the Ukraine? Okay. We're not going to put troops on the ground, at least not yet. At least not yet. Okay. But all the Ukraine folks are asking for is equipment. Russia has priority over the air, the sky. They need missiles, just like when President Reagan got rid of the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. He supplied the Afghans with shoulder-to-air missiles, Hawk missiles, so they can shoot the choppers down, shoot the planes down. So they need that. They need rockets for the tank. They're not asking for people to come. They're asking for equipment. Send them armament. That's what they're asking for. So we have to, and why didn't we do that? I mean, Biden stood before the cameras, and he said, the Ukraine is going to invade within 2 days, within a week. Okay, why hasn't he, before now, sent that equipment into the Ukraine so that they could defend themselves? He's an idiot. He didn't do it. Now he's trying to, we have to help the Ukraine. Okay? So, but one good thing is NATO and the EU are coming to the aid of the Ukrainian folks, okay? They're sending the weapons that I just described. They're sending them in to help out. And they can't do it through the air. The fastest way would be to airlift it, but they can't because Russia has control over the skies. So they have to come through the Polish border and some of the other countries, neighboring countries. So they have to drive them in, okay? So that's all they want, folks. They only want weapons to defend themselves. That's all. Putin has made a big mistake. Big mistake. And I'm very proud of some of those countries, the Germans, you know, stop the Russian pipeline. Okay? More sanctions. Cut them off financially. Okay? When they do that, the people get angry, the Russian people, and maybe they'll turn against Putin and his idiots, okay, his inner circle. So that's part of war. Cut them off financially So the people will suffer. What I mean, not physically suffer, but financially. They can't go to the store. They can't get dollars. See, everybody want dollars overseas, folks. Everybody. They can't get dollars. The ruble, which is the official Russian currency, have gone down almost 40%. Okay? It has devalued. And those of you who have been overseas know about the devaluation of the country's currency versus the dollar. Okay? So this is what the world is doing. And I'm so glad, because most of the world, except the communist countries, China, North Korea, Venezuela, Bolivia, and some of those African countries, they have not condemned, okay? They have not condemned. All right, folks, they have not condemned Russia. We'll be right back with our special guest after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We are definitely on a mission. And while I'm talking to you, I was looking at Newsmax. Our president, Biden, has just left the White House en route to the Capitol building. That fortress that they have enacted there for his first State of the Union lying address. And he's going to lie, folks. There's no doubt about it. He is going to lie. This is prevalent with the Democrats and the main media. Okay? All right. Like I said earlier, we have some guests coming on the show doing the campaigning. And we have one tonight, Mr. Dean Alden. He was running for governor. How you doing?
I'm doing good, George. Thanks for having me.
Great. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a pastor in Opelika, Alabama. I've been a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the last 35 years. When I was 19 years old, I answered the call to the ministry, and since then, I've been all over the world in different parts of the United States, planting churches. I've been to Africa, Nigeria, the island of Mauritius, the Middle East, authored several books, and was in Washington, D.C. in 2008, pastoring a church there until they started supporting Obama from the pulpit. So I spoke up and got fired, and knew I was supposed to go back home to my hometown, Opelika, and start a church there. Did that in 2009. And I've been doing it ever since. Started a ministry school there in 2018. Never thought I'd get involved in politics, but I'm sick of politicians, even Republican politicians, who say one thing and do another. And so the pandemic response and many other things just encouraged me. It was time to do something, step up, and try to make a difference.
Oh, great. I have a question for you, and this is just between you and I, okay? This question. How long were you in Nigeria?
I was in Nigeria in 2002 for an entire month, and then in 2006 for a shorter period of time.
Great. Different kind of country, isn't it?
It is. It's a dangerous country, but wonderful people, especially in the south. Part of the country. Wonderful country, though.
Those are the Yorubas.
What's that?
They are the Yorubas in the south.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I spent 6 years there.
Very well in Aba, Nigeria.
Yeah, I spent 6 years there, so I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What made you decide to run for governor?
Well, the number one issue that bothered me the most, of course, being a pastor and running a church, is how Governor Kay Ivey handled the pandemic response. And, of course, She shut down, you know, our businesses, the schools, and then greatly restricted churches. And I knew immediately, as a, you know, someone who understands the Constitution, the First Amendment, our freedom to worship freely and to not be restricted, and our right to assemble, you know, I knew she was violating the First Amendment regardless of the crisis. And then, of course, when we found out in February of 2020 and March of 2020, of course, President Trump made it public that we had treatments for COVID-19 that were saving lives, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin, that protocol, ivermectin, zinc, blood thinners. Top doctors across the world, like Dr. Didier Raoult, France, Dr. Peter McCullough, formerly Texas A&M, top cardiologist in the world, Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale, epidemiologist. These guys were saying, hey, we're treating thousands and thousands of people hospitalized with COVID-19, and we're seeing lives saved, you know, upwards of 95% successful. And, of course, Trump made it public in March of 2020, and then Laura Ingraham on Fox News put it out there to the world, and yet I never heard Kay Ivey or our lieutenant governor or our state health director or any of our leaders in the state ever mention it or say, hey, there's a treatment that could save lives. And we've had over 17,000 people die in Alabama from COVID-19, and Dr. Peter McCullough, top cardiologist in the world, said we could have saved 85% of those people had we pushed the early treatment protocol. So that's the number one reason I saw our leaders really mess up big time, and many people died and lost their jobs and businesses, and it was all unnecessary.
Okay. What would you do that it will be different from what Governor Ivey did or she's planning to do for the next 4 years if she's elected?
Well, I mean, number one, we know that, let's just talk about education for one thing. Alabama is ranked 47th overall in K-12 education, and we're 52nd in math. And under her watch, she's been in office now about 5 years. Her only answer to this question, this problem, was to throw a little bit more money in one of this last legislative session. And we know that throwing more money at the problem has not fixed the problem. Our budget, education budget, has gone up 400% in the last decade, and we're still last. We're behind Mississippi. They spend less per child than Alabama, and Mississippi's ranked higher. Now, in 2017, Florida was ranked 29th in K-12 education, and now they're ranked third. And what happened in Florida is something what I want to do here in Alabama. I want to introduce a full-scale, total, no-strings-attached school voucher program. Because Governor DeSantis came in, he did two things. They got rid of Obama's Common Core curriculum, which is a disaster. And then they greatly expanded their school choice program to cover 56% of the state, made 56% of families eligible. They went from 29th to 3rd in 4 years. We put that in place in Alabama. Buck the AEA and put that in place in Alabama, we're going to see Alabama get off the bottom in K-12 education. So that's something I want to do different. Another thing is in the area of energy production. We're working right now with a Trump advisor who was at the White House with Trump for 4 years. He's a Cambridge graduate. He's an expert in energy company. And he is developing us and our team a plan to maximize and to expand our drilling for oil and natural gas in the state. And also, this former Trump advisor has a patent on new hydroelectric technology that would allow us this non-dam hydroelectric technology that we could put on our abundance of rivers here and start really reducing our energy costs, becoming an energy exporter, becoming energy independent. And, you know, to do that, though, we're going to have a governor that's willing to nullify and go against a bunch of unconstitutional federal regulations and laws that stop us from drilling and going after our natural resources. But if we do this, we can pay for tax reduction, we can pay for all the things that we need to pay for and get off the federal money, you know, that they give us and bribe us with.
Okay. Would you, if you're elected governor, would you get rid of Common Core? And also, what do you think about critical race theory taught
in schools? Yeah, I would definitely get rid of Common Core. That'd be one of the first steps to fix our school program. Common Core has been a disaster, especially in reading and math. It has been terrible. And I was just talking to a parent. I met in Millbrook, Alabama tonight. I've been at a candidate fair and talking to people, parents, and one parent telling me how she's had a disaster trying to, you know, help her child with their math homework. It's terrible. So we would definitely get rid of Common Core, remove that immediately. I'm sorry, what was your other question with that? You said get rid of Common Core, and you said what?
And what do you think about this critical race theory being taught?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm very cautious on this. I think Republicans need to be cautious. Now, critical race theory that teaches that America is and has always been systemically racist, and that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it is now, and everything is racist, and everyone's a racist. That is wrong. We should not teach that kind of error to our children. But we have to be careful that we don't ban the true teachings of history. And there were great atrocities, that happened, the Birmingham bombings, the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, the Tulsa massacre. I mean, we've had some bad problems with racism and injustice and the mistreatment of African Americans in our country, but it's not our founding principles. It's never been our ideal, and there's also been great American leaders going all the way back to the pre-revolution, like George Mason and some other people. Even John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, he was against slavery, and so what I'm saying is that you've got to teach a balanced view of history. So I think we would just need a curriculum that did not take out the bad events that happened, but also balanced it with the good and the people who stood up and fought against racism and injustice. So if we're going to pass legislation to ban critical race theory, we just have to be very careful that we don't ban true history in the process.
Right. We down here in L.A., lower Alabama, Mobile and Baldwin County pay approximately 40% of the funds that goes to the state government. But yet, in Birmingham area, they built a Route 22, I believe, to Memphis, from Birmingham to Memphis. They did all of that, hundreds of million dollars worth of construction, and no tolls. All of a sudden, you have a federal highway going through Alabama from Florida and from Mississippi and crossing the bay, and they want to charge a toll. What is your opinion of that? And we've got about a minute and a half before we go into break.
Okay, well, that's simple. I mean, the toll is just another tax. And we already pay taxes to build our roads and bridges. We don't need another tax added on. So I'm very, very much against toll bridges and toll roads. I think it's just another tax, and we're already taxed enough.
Okay, great, great. All right, we've got about another minute. And you can, if you can, you can stay over until after the break so that we can
continue. Yeah, yeah, I'm fine. Continue. As long as you want to go, I'm good.
All right, and then when we come back, we want those some of your concerns with what's happening in the state of Alabama right now, okay? And that's very important. And how will you lead Alabama from a federal perspective, you know, especially with this administration that is zero and doing nothing for the people of Alabama and the U.S.? So we'll be right back with Dino and candidate for governor for Alabama, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. I'm George Williams, and we have as our guest Mr. Dean Ogden, who is a candidate for governor of Alabama. And remember, folks, the primary is on, I think, the 24th of May. So you'll have to decide which one of these candidates you're going to push forward against. I think there's a Democrat in the governor's race. I don't know. But anyway, Dean, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah. What can you do if you elect the governor that the governor, Kay Ivory, is not doing as far as helping the people of Alabama out?
Well, number one is, you know, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, and, you know, part of our platform and our principles is lowering taxes and that building revenue. Of course, Governor Kay Ivey raised our taxes when she became governor. She governs more like a Democrat, and she raised our taxes with the gas tax, and actually it's the perpetual gas tax. It's the forever increase. It can just go up and go up and go up. And I would definitely, with my energy and economic plan, be prepared to start lowering our taxes, get rid of the grocery tax, start lowering, you know, I want to get rid of property taxes and as well. So I believe we have to do our economic plan to increase our revenues and so we can pay what we need to pay for, but also begin to cut taxes, dramatically cut taxes, like Ronald Reagan did. And if we do stuff like that, we're going to see revenues increase to the state, and we're going to see people be able to spend more. Businesses will be able to invest more and hire more people. We just know lowering taxes boosts the economy every time. So that's something that she has not done, and it's something that I would do. Second of all, we know what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to do with the Second Amendment. They want to start, you know, initiating massive and sweeping gun control and regulations. And as governor, I would not allow another inch of gun control. In fact, I would push for the Alabama, Second Amendment Preservation Act here in Alabama. It's been passed in other states so that we can say loud and clear to the federal government, we're going to stand on the 10th Amendment and we're going to nullify all these unconstitutional, overreaching federal laws and regulations when it comes to guns and everything else. I'm talking about, too, we're going to stand on the 10th Amendment when it comes to drilling for our oil and natural gas. These are things that she has not been willing to do. You know, right now, you know, we've got this situation with the vaccine mandates and people losing their jobs over the vaccine status. And, you know, she pretends that she has stood up to Biden about the vaccine mandate, but all she did was an executive order and it only covered her executive branch employees and contractors. So it's a lot of talk and fluff outside, but I would push for like Representative Richie Horton's bill that he had. HB 31 that would stop employers from firing people or discriminating against people who choose not to get the COVID vaccine. I would push that through, so I would do a lot of things that she has not done, or at least some things she's done just a little bit. Now I will say this: Governor Ivey's done a good job when it comes to the pro-life issue, but she knew she had to because this state is very, very conservative, very pro-life. That would have been a nail in her coffin before now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we should be issuing driver's license to illegals who come to Alabama illegally, and some of them can't even speak English, and we give them driver's license? What do you think about that? What would you do as a governor?
Well, I don't think we should necessarily until we figure out some things. Now, I'm not, you know, I believe we need to stop the illegal immigration. But I also believe we've got a problem in this country that we have to address, is that we have a lot of people that were brought here by their parents that were children, babies, and they grew up here. They don't know Mexico. They don't know anything else. They're really Americans. And I think we have to figure out a way to let them be Americans without some broad sweeping amnesty. But we've got to figure out a way to let them be Americans and work through that process, because I think that's the right thing to do. But the first thing we've got to do, and Trump was headed down the right road by putting the wall up on the border, and we know that got short-circuited with Biden coming in and the election being stolen, I believe. But bottom line, we've got to secure the southern border, and we've got to stop. We've got to have some way to vet whether these people who have just come into America or they've grown up here, gone to our schools, paid taxes, done all these things, and they're really Americans. They just got brought here by.
But we're not talking. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about people who come across the border illegally, then go into these states, and they're being given driver's license and Social Security cards and all that, and they're not American citizens, and they're not illegal. We're not talking about them.
And Social Security cards and things like that would enable somebody to vote and things like that should be stopped. I agree, 100%.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you have illegals come across the border and they got some friends in Alabama and they come and all of a sudden they get their issued driver's license.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I said a minute ago. It needs to be stopped because especially if they just came across as an adult illegally, they should be immediately deported. I mean, That would be the same if you and I tried to go into Russia. You know, we could go into their border without being allowed or having a passport or whatever. They would immediately send us back home.
If we try to get to Mexico without papers, they're going to arrest us. They're going to blackmail us, and then they're going to send us back home. Okay, I know about Mexico. Exactly. I worked that border. So, I just wanted to know your thought on that because it's happening now.
Yeah, and it needs to be stopped. We're being, you know, the reason that they're allowing the border to be just overran with illegal immigrants is because they want to create a new voting bloc for the Democratic Party. And they also want to deep down in them, they look for a humanitarian crisis so that they can invite the UN in. I mean, we've got some people that have some pretty nefarious ideas about what they want to do to America, and we've got to stand up against that.
And all right, Dean.
You've got to have controlled, legal immigration. You can't have people flooding across the border. You can't have
all right. Any Dean, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll have you on again before the primary.
That sounds great. I enjoyed it.
All right, folks.
I look forward to doing it again.
All right. Thank you.
God bless.
Good luck. All right, folks. Dean Odom is a candidate for the governor of Alabama. And, we like for people to come on. Tell our folks out there what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Okay? That's very important. So you will know what's in their head if they're telling the truth. Okay. On Newsmax today, I got a minute to go, and I just want to let you know, I think it was in Georgia, they have discovered over 2,000 illegals, non-U.S. citizen, who are trying to get their voter registration card in Georgia with this new system they had. So you Democrats out there who are saying no illegals are voting in our election, you're either, out of it or you're lying. Okay, folks, there are illegals voting in our election, and we must stop it. We must stop it. And New York, they're trying to have it in New York City where illegals can vote, about 800,000. That's got to be fought. Okay, take it to the court. Take it to the Supreme Court. The Constitution said you must be a U.S. citizen. All right, folks, we have to get out of here. Our time is up. We'll see you next time, next week at the same time. And I'm going to watch these lies that President Biden is going to tell us during his Statement of the Union address. And we'll be talking about that next week. Until then, folks. Vacon Dales, everyone.